I'm Sheila Cast, and this is Midday. It's summer. A week from today, thousands of young people in Baltimore will start a summer job, work that not only keeps boredom at bay, but teaches skills that can lead to careers. The city of Baltimore has lined up close to 8,000 jobs, the same number it organized for Youth Works last year in response to the unrest. It's a big challenge. We'll talk to the head of the city's jobs effort about how Youth Works works, why businesses are interested in offering summer jobs, and why more don't take part. We'll also meet an employer, a couple of the young workers, and a strategist behind a new set of jobs that teach work skills to young teens. Summer jobs on Midday after the news from NPR. Welcome to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for joining us. As if the weather weren't sending us enough summer signals, today is the summer solstice, a good time to talk about summer jobs. A week from today, thousands of Baltimore's young people will step into a setting that may teach them a lot, may even set them on a path to a career. The first five-week round of 2016 jobs organized by the Baltimore Mayor's Office of Employment Development, MOED, starts next week. A week from today, another set of jobs with another set of young people will start next month. The city says it's very close to matching the number of summer jobs it organized last year, just weeks after the riot at unrest, 8,000 jobs. This hour, we'll look into some of the challenges of summer jobs and talk about some of the successes. Later, we'll speak to an employer and a couple of young workers and learn about some jobs newly designed for young teens. But to start, with me here in the studio is the head of the Mayor's Office of Economic Development, Jason Perkins Cohen. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we get into some details about Youth Works, what the program is called, let me ask you about something that's on my mind about it, which is these jobs, the ones in government offices, in nonprofits, as well as in the private sector, they're 5 weeks. Is that enough time to make a difference?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, longer-term job is always preferred. We all would rather work 6 weeks compared to five. But five is a good chunk of the summer. It takes most youth into August, and it gives them a sense of, for many youth, it's their first job. It's their first experience. They get job readiness. They learn about their career opportunities, and they get that feeling of getting that first paycheck. You know, all of us at some point had a summer job, our first job. And we can all remember finally that experience. It brings a smile to your face, and you do have that memory of that.
Wait a minute. Does nobody have a bad experience in their first job?
Actually, a lot of people don't have amazing summer jobs, but they still have a fond memory of it because it's a rite of passage. And it is that feeling of getting that paycheck in your hand and what it feels like to be a worker. And that's incredibly important for our young people to have that opportunity.
So tell me about who are the young people for whom you organize jobs.
Sure.
How old are they?
Yep.
What are they bringing to it?
So Youth Works, which is, as you said, our summer youth employment program, is for young people in Baltimore City between the ages of 14 and 21. Most of them are teenagers. Roughly 40% of them are 14 and 15-year-olds. And the 14 and 15-year-olds don't work in the private sector. To work in the private sector, you have to be at least 16. But as I said, for many of them, the younger workers, it's their first opportunity. They're all hungry to work in order to get to this position, in order to register through Youth Works. There's an online form that you have to fill out first. Then you actually come into the office. You go through a registration process. You have a short interview. And these young people, you know, for some people, it's they don't always have the best stereotype of teenagers. But 9,400 young people in Baltimore want to work. They went through the whole process. They're excited about it. And they're anxious for next week to come.
Tell me about that interview. You said it's a short interview. What are you looking for? What does a kid have to show at that moment to be on the roster?
Well, we want to make sure that they understand what the program is, what's basically expected of them in the work world, and that they're serious about it.
How do you test that in a short interview?
Well, it's like any other interview. I mean, it's shorter than your typical job, but you think about many jobs in our city, or any city really, often interviews are 30 minutes long. These are a little bit shorter, But, you know, you get a sense of the young person, how they handle some very basic questions, like, you know, tell me about yourself. These are standard interview questions, which, again, is preparing them for their future as well, because tell me about yourself is often the first interview question, whether you're a teenager interviewing for a summer job or you're significantly older interviewing for your career. So it's a great learning moment for the young person. And again, we get a sense of, do you have what it takes? Do you really know what you're getting yourself into? Are you going to wake up every morning and go to work, which was what we all have to do. We want to make sure our teens are representing both themselves and the program well.
Does any kid actually fail out at that point? I mean, are you likely in a short interview to say, you know, you just don't have it together enough?
They don't fail out. That's, you know, we're here to provide a service, but it's a great opportunity for us to provide them some tips and to learn more about that individual and to call them aside. This is a dry run, right? They're interviewing with us. So, you know, teenagers, again, this is their first experience. Some of them are nervous. A lot of them are nervous. A lot of them will maybe give a very short answer to tell me about yourself. And that's okay. Again, we have to understand these are 14 and 15 year old kids. We're typically adults that are interviewing them, and you know, they don't know us. And this is a great experience for them. So we'll try and make them relax a little bit and say, hey, it's okay. I just want to know about you, and sort of pull it out of them a little bit more than they might in their very first interview when they're 25 or 35.
So they get on the roster. They've completed the application process. They've gone through this interview. And then what tends to happen?
Well, it depends on their age and their aspirations. For the younger youth, again, they're likely to be working for nonprofits or in the public sector. For the older youth, we have a program called Hire One Youth, which is our private sector component. And older, again, means 16 years old and older. And to be a Hire One Youth, to work in the private sector, you do have to go through a bit more, which includes a six-hour job readiness session at our office. And most of those sessions are on the weekend, so it means they're giving up their whole Saturday to be with us and to get a whole curriculum on what it means to go to work and the expectations on the job. And again, if you're a teenager giving up your Saturday, you really want to work, and you really want to work in the private sector, and that says a lot. It says a lot to us, and I know it says a lot to their future employers.
And how do you actually connect those applicants? Let's focus on Hire One Youth, the private sector jobs. How do you connect them with employers?
It's tricky because it's a matching game, and all the matching happens in a really short period of time because, you know, you're talking about just a summer job.
Really speed dating.
Really, it's absolutely speed dating. So the youth are given a questionnaire that tells us a little bit about their career interests. We know something about their schooling. Some of them are in what's called CTE programs at school, which is career and technical education. So if they're in a program for, say, nursing or construction, we will try and place them in a nurse or in a healthcare job or a construction job if it's that clear. Sometimes it's not. But again, we send the resumes and the youth over to the employer. So the employer themselves will interview the young people and decide on the best fit. And again, what a great experience for the young person. It's a little scary, it's a little intimidating, but it's a great opportunity for them to get this experience in a more gentle situation with an employer that understands that they're teenagers and understands that they're nervous and is trying to coach them up a little bit.
That is Jason Perkins Cohen here on Midday on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. He is head of the Mayor's Office of Economic Development, MOED, and we're talking about YouthWorks, Baltimore City's summer jobs effort. What about you? Do you recall your first job fondly? Is that something that you think, a story that you think would be relevant to young people having a first job today? You can be part of this conversation. You can phone us at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. Who pays the kids' salaries?
A great question, an important question. So if you're a Hire One Youth, if you're working in the private sector, it is expected that the private, you know, the employer will pay. They can either pay the person, the young person directly, like, you know, put them on their payroll like anybody else, or because it is a short-term job situation, if it's better for the employer, they can make a contribution to the Baltimore City Foundation, and then they go on the city's payroll. And that way, we're trying to make this as easy for employers as we can and to reduce the administrative burden. So they go on our payroll. We deal with all that paperwork that involves anyone coming on payroll. We also deal with pulling out the taxes that all of us pay. We deal with workers' comp and the rest of it. So a lot of the employers choose to have them go on our payroll. But we're happy either way, and the youth doesn't care. They're just thrilled to have a job and get a paycheck.
But the basic dollars to cover that salary come from the employer for whom that young person is going to work.
For Hire One Youth, they're making the contribution. Now, for the other young people who are working, whether they're working in the public sector or in the nonprofit sector, that has to be raised elsewhere. And so we do receive public funds to cover those salaries. We also receive donations from philanthropy and individuals. It's a real community effort and a real campaign that we're making, we make every year, to make sure that we can provide a job for and pay a paid job for every young person that registers.
So how much does the whole effort end up costing? Let's look at last year, because I understand you're still hustling to make that goal of 8,000 jobs for this summer. But looking in the rearview mirror, how much did it cost last year to provide 8,000 jobs?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. I mean, it costs somewhere in the neighborhood of $12 million for 8,000 jobs. If you just do the math on minimum wage plus the taxes and the workers' comp and some minor administrative costs, it's $1,500 a job for the summer. Which is very reasonable when you think of it as an individual's job for the summer. But when you're multiplying that times 8,000, it's not insignificant. But it's a great boost. So it's great for the young person to get a wage. It's a great boost for our economy because young people, for better or for worse, tend to spend a good chunk of what they earn. They need it for school supplies and outfits for school and other needs. So that money gets pumped right back into our economy. But it is something we need to raise every year.
What is your sense of whether it is that money in the pocket that motivates kids more, or is it the experience that motivates kids more?
I think it depends on the kids. I mean, like, you know, we were all young once. It's very exciting to earn money and to have money of your very own. So I don't want to, you know, I certainly have to acknowledge that for young people, they're excited to earn a paycheck. But I also know, because I've heard it over and over again, and I know you're going to be talking to some young people later, that they also have an opportunity that they but otherwise would not get. I mean, for a young person to get a chance to work in a healthcare institution, for an energy company, in a law firm, it's a absolute eye opener for them in terms of what their future could hold. They learn a lot just from being there, and for many of them, it's a life changing experience because they hadn't thought of the implications of what their future might be, and then they catch the bug and they're ready to go to school or get whatever credential they need to pursue that.
So, what are your measures of success? What can you measure that says this year worked well? Maybe last year didn't work so well, or the last year worked well, and we got to strive for that this year.
Right. We have a couple of, we mostly measure with our customers, and we have two customers. One customer is the young people themselves. Teenagers are not shy about telling you their opinion of things, and we ask them directly through a survey at the end of the summer, so they've already been paid, and therefore they certainly are free to be honest with us. You know, did we do a good job? Was this a meaningful experience? And we get overwhelming, well over 90% of them say they learned something on the job. It was a great experience. And then, of course, our other experience is our employers. And they also aren't shy about telling us their feelings. And similarly, we keep it short and sweet. But we want to know: did the youth do a good job? And would they come back next year? And would they recommend it to another employer? And again, well over 90%. So many of them again get something out of it that they didn't expect. And I can sort of remember very specifically with a healthcare institution who, when I went to thank them personally because I happened to go on a site visit. And there was no cameras rolling. They said, no, thank you. It's so important for us. We didn't even realize how important it was for us to have young people in our building and helping us to feel vibrant and a part of the community. And that's a benefit that is hard to describe, but so important. And so many employers pick that up quickly.
We're going to talk more about that after we take a quick break. We're going to talk to an employer who got her own start in a summer job, and we'll meet some kids. Are you an employer? Does it strike you as a lot of effort and expense for not much return to bring young people on for the summer? We'd love to hear from you. Call us at 410-662-8780 or send us an email at midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. Baltimore's YouthWorks expects to hire 8,000 young people this summer. Most of them will start work a week from today. We're talking about Youth Works and with Jason Perkins Cohen, director of the Baltimore Mayor's Office of Economic Development. And I'd like to welcome Pam Clark. She's Senior Project Manager, Municipal and Commercial Business for Veolia North America. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So for starters, what is Veolia North America?
Veolia is a global energy, water, wastewater, and environmental company. In Maryland, we have steam, chill water, and hot water services.
So you actually heat, businesses and apartments?
We do. In Baltimore, we have over 240 customers in the downtown district.
Uh-huh. What got Veolia involved with YouthWorks?
Veolia has been involved in the mayor's youth employment program since 1998, with YouthWorks specifically since
1998?
Yes, that's correct.
So this goes back a ways.
It does. With YouthWorks and Hire One since 2008, we see a real benefit from hiring youth at Veolia, and we've been very happy with our experience, and we continue to do so.
So were you already at Veolia when it was hiring summer youth through the city program?
Yes, I have been with the business since 1999, for 17 years.
Okay, so you were part of the decision?
Yes.
And what prompted you to go that direction? There has to be some trade-off involved, right?
There absolutely is. I come from a youth program through the mayor's office many years ago, over 20 years ago. And I am a firsthand experience of how the program benefits not only the youth, but the business. As a business, we are able to have the youth come in. They have exciting new ideas. One of our interns brought to us this summer a GIS program that we were not aware of.
I don't even know what GIS is.
It's a locating system for our maps and records database. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So they were able to bring a new system in that they learned about in college that we weren't even aware existed out in the market. And we're now exploring the licensing requirements to bring that into our system to utilize as well. So they come with new ideas, new experience, you know, innovation, excitement to work and bring new ideas into the field.
That is Pam Clark of Veolia North America, which takes part in the summer youth jobs in Baltimore City. Here on Midday on WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. Jason Perkins Cohen of MOED is still with us in the studio. You can be part of this conversation. Are you an employer who's thought about this and reached a different conclusion, or have you reached the same conclusion? Have you been involved with giving a summer job to a young person? How did it work out for you? We'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at midday@wypr.org, or you can phone us, 410-662-8780. You have brought one of your workers, Shanice Richardson, with you. Shanice, welcome to Midday.
Hi.
I'm glad you could be with us. How long have you been working in YouthWorks, in a Baltimore summer job?
I've been in YouthWorks for going on 3 years now. This is my third summer.
How old were you when you started?
I was 19 when I started the program.
And why did you decide to do it then?
Well, I needed a job, and it was hard to find one in my actual career field. And YouthWorks.
Your career field. So at 19, you had a career field already. Tell me about that. Where were you in school, and what were you studying?
I was studying civil engineering at Frostburg State University, but it was hard to find a engineer to work under, or at least
you were hoping for an engineering kind of summer job, but you that was hard.
Yeah, it was hard to search by myself. The first summer I had no luck. And the second summer, I was encouraged to join the program by another mentor of the program.
Uh-huh.
So the second year out of high school, I decided to apply. And thankfully, Stacy from Veolia, she actually brought me in.
So when you applied for YouthWorks, you were pretty much hoping you would get an engineering kind of summer job.
Yes.
And how did that actually come to pass?
Well, I I didn't want just a regular job and to work, I guess, in just the basic chains. And I thought it would be a better use of my time to find something to build towards my future.
Right. I get that. I'm just curious as to how you actually made that happen, or who made it happen, or how it happened.
Well, I had a lot of prep from my high school, which was Western School of Technology and Environmental Science.
Uh-huh.
They helped me with my resume, and they encouraged me to get out more and things like that.
Uh-huh. I'm just curious as to whether there was like a job fair or some way that you knew what offerings there were.
Well,
for summer jobs.
I have another mentor. Her name is Coretta. She's a part of the program. She's one of the people that actually provides jobs. And she encouraged me. She was just like, you can get something in your career field for, like, at your age with your qualifications. And it's not, you just have to settle for a job.
Okay. So you didn't feel like you had to settle, and you haven't. Pam Clark, what are you looking for in a summer employee?
So part of the process that you're asking about is how these youth get connected with the employers. HireOne Youth takes the resumes from the youth. They assist them with that resume writing process. I, as the employer, let the HireOne Youth program know what I am looking for. So if I am looking for an engineering intern, a marketing intern, we've in the past have had operations mechanics as interns, we will let the HireOne Youth program know what we are looking for. We fill out a very simple one-page application. It goes over to the youth career counselor. They take the resumes, they pre-screen them. They look for the specific tasks that the students specialize in that we are requiring. They send me about a half a dozen resumes. I look through them, select which youth I would like to interview. They set up the interviews, the youth come in, and from that I'm able to make a selection as to who I would like to offer a position to. So a lot of the footwork is done for me.
And this summer, for example, how many HireOne youth have you hired?
We have three.
Three?
Yes.
And how do you recall about how many you interviewed?
So we probably interviewed four. Shanice is a return. So she returns not only every summer, but we extend her employment throughout the year.
Right. She's year-round now, I understand.
She is year-round. So any available time.
Thank you.
Yes. Any available time she has, she comes back to work with us at Veolia.
Have you had that situation before with other?
Yes, multiple times. In fact, one of our other summer interns at this moment is also a return. So we have one new student to the program who is in the engineering field, who we went through that same process. We were looking for an engineering intern. We asked for the resumes. We received them, interviewed, and selected from that process.
Jason Perkins-Cohen, you're nodding your head vigorously as you hear about this, just because it's good news, or is there something you want to jump in and say?
Well, it is good news. I mean, I think Veolia, you know, Pam, correct me if I'm misspeaking, but they use YouthWorks. I mean, they see it as a benefit to the community, but it's also a benefit to them. It's a way for them to sort of try out their future workforce. They bring them in for a summer. If they work out great and they have an opportunity, it's a way for them to, you know, they've had a summer to see how this worker does. And Shanice is a great example of someone who made the most of that opportunity and turned it into something bigger and better. And we think that that's fabulous.
By the way, I should close the loop because listeners may be somewhat confused. We had mentioned a few minutes ago that you were, when you started in YouthWorks, you were at Frostburg State. And people may be thinking, and you work year-round how? So explain to us where you're studying now.
I recently transferred to Morgan State University,
uh-huh.
And I'm still majoring in civil engineering.
That's still what you plan to do as a career?
Yes.
Jason Perkins-Cohen, we're hearing wonderful stories of how an employer gets something from having young workers. It's not a one-way street. when you talk to employers, and I know you spend a lot of time trying to recruit employers, what are their biggest concerns about taking on a summer youth worker?
I think the biggest thing for employers is they have to have a supervisor who's available to supervise, and they have to have enough work for the young person. So in some examples, if you work in an ice cream shop, it's very clear what the young person would do and that you would need more workers in the summer, I presume. In some businesses, it's a little less clear, and it does take them a little bit of time to think about a project that the young person can take on or take an important role in for the amount of time that's available that's appropriate for their level. I mean, they're mostly teenagers, so they're not going to be supervisors themselves yet. So employers need to sort of think it through a little bit, and we help them as much as we can. But it is a process for them, again, because we want to make sure these are quality experiences. We want the employer to have a great experience, and we want the young person to have a great experience.
It's those concerns, and I realize that there's a bottom line impact if an employer is thinking through clearing enough of a manager's time to take on another supervisee. But it's more those kinds of management choices than the actual cost, the actual salary of the young worker?
I think it depends on the size of the employer and their situation, but cost comes up some. But for a lot of them, if they have the work and they can sort of work around the other pieces to it, they're pretty excited about it. But cost can be a factor.
Pam, do you want to jump in?
We've worked through the strategy of how to manage our interns for several years. And the Hire One Youth program does provide ambassadors who are employers who are involved in the program.
Are you an ambassador?
I am. And we are willing to speak with future employers to help them through any hurdles they may have. So whether it's making a work plan for the intern as they come on board, giving them ideas of training or mentorship along the way, we are here and available to help future employers that may have questions from personal experience.
I know, Jason Perkins-Cohen, that you're still working on placements for this summer, but it sounds to me as if you need to be already working on placements for next summer if employers need that kind of support in thinking through how they can make the management work.
Yeah, certainly putting on YouthWorks is a year-round endeavor to make it. So we are already thinking about summer 2017 before we've gotten through summer 2016. And some of what we're doing is we have people like Pam who are ambassadors who help us make sure that we understand the employer's perspective. And it's also sort of talking to young people. I mean, Shanice is an example of a young person that sort of started with YouthWorks when she was 19. But there's literally thousands of young people. In fact, 30% of the 14 and 15-year-olds in Baltimore City have registered with YouthWorks this summer. So those 14 and 15-year-olds are going to be the youth workers of 2017, 18, 19, and beyond. So we're trying to create pilot programs where we have an opportunity to make sure that we're preparing young people for their future, and we're creating an even stronger program. And I can go into some of those pilots if you want me to.
We're going to talk about one in a couple of minutes, a pilot that's aimed particularly at younger teenagers. But I'm trying to understand whether the target that you reached last year and that you're aiming for again this year of 8,000 jobs, is that in your view the new normal for the size of the summer jobs program in Baltimore?
You know, it's hard to walk back from it. Young people want to work, and it's really important for our city, for our community, to make sure that we're giving the opportunities. And so we have to ramp up to 8,000 and maybe even beyond in the future years.
Because you've got 9,400 applicants this
summer,
right?
Because we've got 9,400 applicants, that's right. And saying no to a young person is a very difficult thing to do. And the people that sign up for our program, they don't have other opportunities. They've looked for a job. They haven't found one. They're too old for camp for the most part. And so we want our youth to have these experiences, to have the feeling of a paycheck, to grow their skills, and to become future workers at Veolia Energy and other places across our city.
Shanice Richardson, before I let you go, let me ask you, if another student were to ask you about YouthWorks, a student who hadn't had the experience, what would you tell him it has meant to you?
it has meant me being prepared for my future. Even if I don't stay with Veolia, I know that I'll be prepared for anything that I come across because of how they have, I guess, molded me for the job that they've provided and just different tests that they've given me. So
that's a lot to say. I really appreciate your talking to us about it, Shanice. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to meet another young worker, and we'll learn about a new approach to getting young teenagers connected to work. You can be part of this conversation. What are your memories of your first summer job? Do you think this is an important rite of passage for kids? Do you have some ideas about how it can be available to even more kids? We'd welcome your phone calls at 410-662-8780 or your emails at midday@wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Midday, everybody. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about YouthWorks, Baltimore City's summer jobs effort. The person who leads it, the head of the Mayor's Office of Economic Development, Jason Perkins Cohen, is here with me. Also, Pam Clark, Senior Project Manager, Municipal and Commercial Business at Veolia North America. You can be part of this conversation. You can send us an email at midday@wypr.org, or you can phone us at 410-662-8780. We've been joined by another young woman who is in her seventh summer of YouthWorks. Alexandra Odom, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on the air. I'm really excited to be here.
So you started in 2009?
I do believe so. It was the summer after my freshman year in high school.
And started how?
So I applied for YouthWorks because during that summer I was finally like legally eligible to work, at least a job that wasn't like babysitting or helping my grandma with errands or something like that. So I definitely wanted to look for jobs, and YouthWorks just seemed like the best option because a lot of employers outside of YouthWorks were hesitant about hiring someone so young, especially retail stores where they need you to stay later or they want to put you on a schedule where you're working more hours. So I got a hold of the application because my older sister had done it, and then I applied and ended up getting a job that summer.
Hold that thought. Let me ask Jason Perkins Cohen. Are 14-year-olds allowed to take these other kinds of jobs, like Alexandra mentioned, a retail job? Do you know labor law well enough to tell me if that's...
Typically, they are not allowed, so they'd have to be 16.
Okay.
Were you 16?
That was kind of what I thought.
I was 14, and I was looking for people who were, like, willing to hire people who were 14, so, like, maybe some summer camps that were doing, like, counselors and training and things like that, because once you reach that age, you have a few more options open to you.
So what was your first summer job through the city?
My first summer job was working with the Department of Parks and Recreation. So I was working at Chinquapin Park, and I think we would go through landscaping, beautifying the neighborhoods, and things like that.
So you're doing physical work?
Yes, physical work outside.
And you're smiling as you say it. It sounds like it was a good job for you. Was there any other component to the job? I mean, was there like an orientation or was there...
There wasn't really an orientation, but we definitely did have different workshops where we would learn about sustainability. We would learn about like the environment, I think waste management and things like that. So different people from the Department of Recreation would come in and lead sessions periodically.
And how have your jobs changed over the summers? Are you still working outdoors in the parks?
No, definitely not. I think I did that my first 2 years. After that, I actually got the opportunity to work in the Mayor's Office of Employment Development, going through YouthWorks applications. I've had a job at University of Maryland, Baltimore, which is where I'm working now. And I also got the opportunity to work for Mahan Reichel, which is a landscape architecture firm in Baltimore.
I'm sorry, tell me, you covered a lot of ground really fast there, Alexandra. You also had the opportunity to work for
Mahan Reichel, which is a landscape architecture firm in Baltimore. So they do landscape architecture, urban design, and planning.
So if I listen to your summer jobs, Alexandra, I might assume this is a young woman who's planning to do something with landscaping or architecture, or because she had this one summer job in the parks, and now... That's not where you are. Tell me about where you are in your education and what's happening next.
Sure. So I just graduated from Grinnell College. This fall, I will be going into a master's program at Queen Mary University of London with a Fulbright scholarship. And next fall, I will be going into a PhD program at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. So my goal is to be an academic and a professor of African American history.
What have these summer jobs? What did the string of summer jobs have? What do they have to do with where you're headed?
I think that's one of the things that's great about YouthWorks is at face value, it seems as though these jobs have absolutely nothing to do with academia, right? My first couple jobs, I think, were really great just because it taught me different skills as far as being to work on time, communicating with your supervisor. And then once I started to work at University of Maryland, Baltimore, I was actually in the communications department doing an oral history project. So as a historian, any sort of experience with oral history is amazing. With Mahan Reichel, they do a lot of historical research about the communities that they go into before they do plans, before they start drafting things. So I was able to contribute to different projects on that component because, of course, landscape architecture, they're familiar with Photoshop and GIS, but the really substantial historical research isn't necessarily something that everyone in the office has experience with. So I was able to aid in a couple of intern projects with that. And we actually ended up submitting the award-winning competition for Baltimore City's Growing Green Project. And also, last year, we had the opportunity to present at the Ecological Society of America's conference in downtown Baltimore. So that was great public speaking experience for me. This year, I'm working as a writing consultant. And as a future professor and academic, that's a great experience, helping people with their papers, learning more about different kinds of writing. I come from a historical background, of course. I had been a writing mentor at Grinnell College. Now getting more familiar with medical writing, scientific writing, APA format rather than Chicago, there's been tons of transferable skills that my YouthWorks jobs have taught me.
It's very hard for me to imagine there was ever a time when you needed practice in communicating with your supervisors. But since you've reached back for us and described some of those early jobs, I want to pull somebody else into the conversation now. Julia Baez is joining us on the phone. She is Chief Strategy Officer of the Family League of Baltimore. Julia, welcome to Midday.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I hope you can tell us about this pilot project this summer that involves community schools.
Yes, I can. Jason and I met a few months ago, and we were thinking about, you know, the work of community schools and how we might be able to partner with the Mayor's Office of Employment Development. And we know summer is a huge need in terms of making sure there are opportunities for young people across the city. And so we thought about community schools as a place where young people could come together in their community, have an opportunity to build some real skills around workforce development, but also be involved in activities that support their neighborhood, their neighborhood association, their school community, other students and families that are connected to their school. So we were lucky enough through a partnership that Jason had with International Youth Foundation to bring them on board to make the partnership even stronger by offering their curriculum for workforce development that they've been doing all over the world. And this will be the first time that young people in Baltimore will be able to access these resources and be a part of that program. Go ahead.
Julia, give me, I'm having a hard time getting a real specific picture of some of the kinds of things that these young teens are going to be able to learn in this pilot.
So the young people involved in the pilot will learn tangible skills that support them around workforce, as well as actual work experience throughout the summer that connects them to their community. So they might be helping make sure families are aware of when school starts, making sure that the food pantry is in operation over the summer, supporting summer camps and summer learning programs that are happening at their school. But then they'll also be taking part in these modules that will give them experience, you know, that we heard from the other young people that have been speaking on the show today around what it means to actually have a job and be engaged in those important skills around workforce.
And about how many young people are going to be involved in this pilot?
There will be about 400 students across the city in 23 different neighborhoods taking part in this pilot this summer.
23 different neighborhoods?
Yep.
Wow. So it's pretty much across the city?
It is across the city. Lots of schools and different community partners are involved. And the other thing that I think is really exciting about this pilot is that the supervisors who will be working with the young people are also parents and community members. And so it's not just a workforce pipeline for our 14 and 15-year-olds. It's also creating job opportunities for parents and community members across the city as well.
Jason Perkins-Cohen, you told us earlier that, and I've forgotten the percentage, but a big percentage of the applicants for summer jobs are at the young end of the age ranges from 14 to 21, right? But you said a big proportion are 14, 15, 16.
Yeah, 30% of all 14 and 15-year-olds in the city register for YouthWorks. And we created this pilot because it was a recognition of a couple of things. First of all, as we discussed, they can't go into the private sector yet anyway. And what the number one thing employers tell us, whether we're talking about youth or we're talking about adults, is job readiness. I really want to have somebody that understands what it means to go to work and is prepared for work. And we realized that part of YouthWorks could be preparing our youngest workers for future opportunities. So that's one. And the second is that so many of them, you know, they don't, like many of us when we were 14, 15 years old, they don't know what they want to be when they grow up.
I almost hope they don't at that point.
Right. And it probably is in some ways a good thing. So this is, as Julia said, a mix of job readiness, career exploration, and then community work, where they can go out into the community, whether their community is literally at their school or in their broader neighborhood, do real work, but it's experientially based, so they can come back and say, now it makes sense, the things that I was learning in that module about following directions, how did you apply that when the supervisor told you to do something? And so it's a huge opportunity for the young people, and we hope with this pilot that it's successful and that we can expand it in future years so that it can be the thing that 14 and 15-year-olds in Baltimore City do, if it's high quality.
Julia, this is just starting, right? Or do you have any feedback yet?
It's just starting. This summer we'll be doing evaluation in partnership with MOED and the International Youth Foundation to get feedback from youth as well as the adults that are participating, so we can, to Jason's point, build on this for future implementation.
What has been the biggest challenge in setting it up?
I think, you know, it's an amazing idea, and, you know, if we had, you know, another year to plan it, I think, it'd be even stronger. So I think the timeline, you know, we're starting with a small pilot this year, and just getting folks engaged in the idea of sort of thinking differently about the YouthWorks opportunity. But it's been amazing to work with MOED and having International Youth Foundation as a partner at the table that has experience doing this job readiness career exploration work all over the world has added a huge amount of capacity to this pilot for the summer.
I really appreciate your telling us about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jason Perkins-Cohen, it just seems like a huge new element to add. I mean, it just seems like a very hands-on, very, very, very much rooted in the community. But do you have the capacity to add that big an element to YouthWorks?
We do, and we think we've made it a priority. And I think one of the things we're trying to do with YouthWorks is we don't want people, young people or employers, really to think of it in sort of YouthWorks 2016, and then we wait 10 months and we start talking about YouthWorks 2017. We really, for young people, you know, their lives keep on going, and we want to help prepare them. We want to take a summer. We want them to have this great experience. And as Julia said, we're already thinking about after-school activities to allow them to build on that so they're more prepared next year for next summer, so that they are, A, more ready for work, and they also have a better sense. They'll come in and say, you know what, I had a great experience with the Department of Recreation, but and that would be fine, but I actually would really love it if I could work in retail or in culinary or for an engineering firm or whatever it is they want to do. It's too important. This time is such an important time in young people's development. We don't want to lose any opportunities.
I think Jason also made a really great point about their lives go on. I know various people who have had positions at the job that they started with the youth works throughout the school year. So it's not just something that happens throughout the summer. I've had employers call me when I'm home on breaks when they needed assistance in the office to come in for a couple of weeks while I was home. So that's definitely been beneficial, not only for me to have something to do when I'm only home for a month or for 2 weeks, but also for them when they have an opening and they really need some help to have somebody that they know they can call on throughout the year.
I must say, I think both of the young people whom we met this hour, people hearing them are thinking, okay, these kids were going to be successful no matter what. Are we perhaps leaving a sense with listeners who have no firsthand contact with Youth Works and the for-profit, the segment of that that works with for-profit employers called Hire One Youth? Are we leaving the sense that this is great enrichment, but it's not changing anybody's life?
I hope not. I mean, we do have special youth who are here today and have, you know, they're just amazing people and amazing stories. But we are talking about a program for 8,000 young people who are starting at various places in their life and in their development. And again, that's why those early ages are so important, so that we can help support them and help them grow and help them see what the future could be for them. Again, many of them, you know, they don't have other plans for the summer, and we want them to start thinking about what their future can be by giving them a 5-week taste of what it feels like to be in a work setting, to get a paycheck, and all the other opportunities that are out there for them.
I definitely think YouthWorks has something to do with changing my life, especially. I know as a college student, going away from home, I could have stayed anywhere. I could have applied for summer jobs somewhere else. But really, having that experience with YouthWorks made me want to contribute to the growth of the city even more. Seeing the great things that people are doing within the city, I think a lot of times people leave Baltimore City for college. They leave for different reasons after high school, and they really have no real incentive to go back. But seeing what this program is doing and knowing that I have substantial employers that I have built connections with, people that I've built a network with, that gives me even more of an incentive to come back home and contribute to the local economy rather than moving elsewhere and looking for jobs in other states where I would no longer be as connected.
I'm having a certain amount of cognitive dissonance talking to all of you because I just wrote a letter to, with my husband, wrote a letter to the editor of the Washington Post, which splashed across the Sunday front page of the Post, a story that was headlined, Coming of Age in a City Coming Apart. And it was a story of a very energetic young man who's facing lots of challenges. And there was no indication in the story that Baltimore is coming apart. And we pointed that out in our letter to the editor. But I guess I'll ask you, Jason Perkins-Cohen, since we're just about out of time to sort of wrap this up. What is the message of YouthWorks to the wider city, to the region, as you struggle to make the last placements to get to 8,000 jobs? What does it say to the world and to the young people if this effort works or not?
Well, I think the message is young people want to work. When they can first register in the beginning of January this year, 1,000 young people had registered on the first day in the first 24-hour period for jobs that they wouldn't be able to get for 6 months. We don't think of I know that I'm a procrastinator myself, and I think many teens are as well. When you are registering for something 6 months in advance, you really want it. And a lot of us don't always think of teens, particularly in Baltimore City, as hungry to work. And when we start realizing that is really who we have in our city, and we're fortunate to have them, we have to make sure we honor that commitment.
I really appreciate you talking to us about it this hour. Jason Perkins-Cohen, Director of the Mayor's Office of Employment Development. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Pam Clark, Senior Project Manager with Veolia North America. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Alexandra Odom, with YouthWorks since 2009, headed to a Fulbright in London. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast being on the air with you guys today.
Earlier, we spoke with Julia Baez, Chief Strategy Officer of the Family League of Baltimore, and Shanice Richardson, youth work since 2014. I'd also like to thank the DIS for supplying lunch today for midday guests located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. The DIS is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast on weekends on the web at thedisbaltimore.com. Join us tomorrow. We're going to be talking about how the woods are full of food, mushrooms, ramps, fiddlehead ferns. Tomorrow we'll learn about the fine art of foraging.